you still hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, does that sound better or worse?
I think it sounds better. Yeah.
Okay. All right, fuck this microphone. God damn it. All right. Whatever. All right, I will attempt to cut that start out, but I mean, okay. Who knows? I don't even have audio editing software on this computer, so, you know, this is...
Right.
So you would know someone who writes books. If you're too heavy on the space bar, you can ruin your entire computer. And I've done it 4 or 5 times now. So my computer is...
Oh, that is very annoying.
Yeah. So I'm on a lone Windows computer. I don't know how to use Windows computers.
Yeah, and it turns out space bar is something that is useful sometimes.
It's quite important. Yeah, it's really annoying when it stops working.
Yeah.
So what beer have you got over there?
Oh yeah, I've never been clear on the rules. You guys always seem very cagey about what beers you're drinking.
Oh really?
Is this fair game?
No, need to be cagey about the beer.
Righto. I got a Moffat Beach Passenger Pale.
There we go. Okay, wait. Let me do a screenshot. Hang on. Fucking Windows. My God.
I can pour very slowly if you want.
That's good. I mean, that's just going to have to do. I mean, I don't know. I don't think we're going to beat that. Oh, there we go.
They've rebranded recently, and so I've got some nice freshies.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
Pretty happy with.
Multiple award winning. Yes. Looks quite dark.
Yeah, it is. I mean, like, it's also kind of my lighting. Like, I'm in this terrible room with like a fragile balance of lamps around me, like I'm being interrogated.
Right.
But yeah, no, it is. It is fairly. Like pretty solid gold.
Nice. I've got a
very
got
appropriate for Moffat.
Yeah, I've got a solid gold. Yeah, I've got. Oh wait, you can't see. It doesn't even matter. Well, I'm actually
I've got
showing
no
you
idea
my
what
beer,
you're
which is pointless. But it's a
paint a word picture.
Well, it's confusing because it's a homebrew from my mate at work who does our coffee roasting. And he said there's two homebrews. They're unmarked. I don't know which one's which, but one, I think he said one is a cold IPA and one is a pale ale. And I don't know which one this is.
Have you tasted it yet?
Yeah, it tastes pretty good.
If you taste it and you don't know what it is, that's worrying. Do you know what the difference in ABV even is?
I don't know anything about them. I mean, I assume that the cold IPA is higher ABV. Doesn't taste super boozy. It tastes pretty good. It's very light though, like super light in color.
Yeah, right.
So,
well, maybe that's an argument for it being the cold IPA then. Maybe it's just a really lean malt bill and you're not tasting the booze.
Yeah, it's either a sort of a lower ABV cold IPA or it's not super aromatic, but it's tasty. It's good. He brews with Benny from Burley Brewing on his homebrew kit. And it's a proper homebrew setup. So it's not like, it's not dodgy homebrew. It's like, it's good. It's good beer. It's always good. I've tried so many of their beers. They're always really good.
Yeah. That's really cool. I mean, like many of us, like I've had so many bad homebrews in the past. You kind of just come to think of homebrew. I just kind of came to think of as homebrew as something that's just crappy overall. But then of course, like so many good brewers, of course, can make good beer on homebrews, on homebrew kit. So
yeah,
I don't
really understand how hard it is because I've never homebrewed, but we did during COVID, we did a homebrew comp at Black Ops and it was a long homebrew comp. Like it was 6 different entries over like a year long period and we would judge all the beers. We gave away like medals and awards and stuff. It was a pretty big comp. We called it Black Ops Reserves. And we did the first judging for that. We just put in a sensory program. So we're kind of teaching the staff about sensory and picking up faults and stuff like that. And I think the first one we did was IPA. And oh man, there were some bad ones. Oh, it was just the diacetyl bomb after diacetyl bomb. And I honestly didn't taste, there was sort of like 3 or 4 good ones and the rest just awful.
Yeah, right. I mean, and surely they would have been even worse again if they'd been lagers or pales because they wouldn't have had anything to cover it up. Like the hops probably helped a bit still. You know?
Yeah, but that diacetyl flavor, once you kind of like, once you know it and you can pick it, it's just so gross. You know what I mean? Like it's kind of like a pleasant flavor until you realize it's a fault and then it's like just disgusting.
So I never did it, but several years ago I was talking with Lockie Crothers when he was ballistic.
Yeah.
And actually, yeah, I quite like the flavor of diacetyl in like in the abstract. And so I talked to him about maybe doing like a butterscotch beer that like purposefully just like sort of amped it up.
Yeah.
We never did it, but I think that'd be fun.
Yeah, well, like when you sort of taste one, it's kind of like sweet and smells good. It smells like kind of butter menthols or something, and you're kind of like, this is good. But then after judging, because with the judging, we'd have to judge like 15 different beers and just bomb after bomb. And some of these were like double, triple IPAs, just like so thick and syrupy, and it's like, oh no, this is
Oh,
terrible.
and like anything else, there's a big difference between what's meant to be in there and what's not meant to be in there. Like you get the same with sourness. Like in the wrong beer, it's the worst thing ever.
Yes.
People haven't balanced, you haven't balanced the flavors, you haven't thought about what, yeah, you know, what hops, what fermentation profile you want. Whereas when it's well made and it's meant to be like that, you can do pretty good stuff with it.
Right, exactly right. And that and also it's a, you know, having good equipment definitely matters. Like you can't, I think really good brewers can probably brew on shit equipment, but the average home brewer with a shitty setup is it's going to be pretty hard to make decent beer.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's like that thing they say, you got to know the rules before you can break the rules.
Yes, yeah.
Once you know what you're doing, you can learn to work with lesser equipment. You can learn to, yeah, you could work your way around all these things. But if it's just like that because you don't know any better, probably not going to make something good.
Yes, agree. All right, so let's so the format for today, we'll do our normal show format. We don't have a lot of news. To be honest, like we don't have too much good news. Like we just this podcast has just become real hard because we just every time I fucking look at Crafty Pint and look at not having to go at Crafty Pint at all. I'm like a super fan of Crafty Pint.
Oh,
But it's just like, you know,
oh,
it's
we feel the
nonstop.
same freaking thing.
Yeah, so it's kind of, you know, we sort of try to skip anything that's too bad. Like we try to put some positive stuff in there, but to be honest, every week it ends up like this, and it's a whole bunch of shit news that we kind of talk about. But let's talk about your book to kick things off because you sent this through to me
Sure,
and
sure.
Hendo the other day, and dude, it's a proper, it's so legit. It's like proper legit. So to tell us about yourself and the background of the book.
Oh gosh, that's a big question. Where do you want me to start? What do you mean?
Yourself, how did you end up being the person who wrote the book on beer?
Yeah, okay. So in like 2015, was that 9 years ago now? Yuch. I wanted to get into the beer industry. I had a writing background, but I wasn't thinking about that at the time. And I tried a few different things and eventually like I was working on a blog, a beer blog as a way to get to know people, make some friends, to learn more, to kind of, you know, insinuate yourself in.
Yeah.
And yeah, when I was trying to figure out how to get in the craft beer industry and not really quite finding it, and then Crafty Pint put out a call for freelance writers. I was like, oh yeah, I'm a writer and I want to get in the beer industry. Sweet. I can write about beer.
That's
I
cool.
hadn't
What
really
were you
thought that that
writing
was a
about
thing.
before beer?
So I wasn't really working in writing, but like I'd studied creative writing at uni. I've been writing like I'd written a novel as a teenager, like yeah, a bunch of stuff.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so
So
you could write
I'd
shit where
always
you're
loved
just
writing.
literally making shit up.
Oh, that is my dream. I like that better than any other kind of writing.
That's crazy. I love that. That's so amazing that people can do that.
Yeah, I mean that's why I like one of the things I really like about Crafty, not that we make it all up. But it does have like a real like a flexibility with like creativity that like
Yeah.
some of the other sort of news sources just never had. And so yeah, I love that. Like I actually could like flex my creative muscles a bit, which I found a lot of fun and I'm better at than the other kind of writing. Yeah, so anyway, so a few years of writing Crafty and kind of had my beer blog behind me, which was kind of yeah, funnier and sillier again. And then, yeah, a few years ago now, 3 years ago or something, I got this LinkedIn message from a publisher, and they said, "Yeah, hey, we've looked at your stuff, we've read some of your writing, we really like it, and we're looking for a beer writer to write a book about beer. Are you interested?"
Wow. So
And I
this is
actually
some is
wasn't.
this The Simon and Schuster, the publisher that published it.
So they're the distributor. So
Oh,
the publisher is called Rockville Publishing,
okay,
and
yeah,
they've got like a sub imprint called Gelding Street Press. So that's
right,
kind of who I'm writing for, but they use Simon & Schuster to distribute for them.
I see, okay, that's legit though, right? That's like a proper publishing company.
Oh, absolutely.
Was that a surprising message to receive?
Oh, absolutely it was. Yeah. I mean, like surprising and weird. And like, I don't know, you get something on LinkedIn, half of them are from LinkedIn itself. Like,
Oh, like all of
those.
every single message I've ever got on LinkedIn has been complete trash.
No, like I've got a couple of other ones, but like again, they're like people who aren't really connected at all. Like someone in some weird parallel, three steps away industry saying, "I'd like to connect." And you're like, "Yeah, I'm not really sure I need help with, decorative glassware details or something."
Right.
Thanks, I'm good.
Yeah.
So yeah, I kind of wasn't expecting much from this message, and then you read it, and it takes you a few read-throughs to go, "No, it is legit, and it is personal to me." And like, "Oh no, this is actually just a real person reaching out this way."
Right.
Yeah, but at the time I actually wasn't available, and the book they were asking me to write was like about history of Australian beer that was looking back at like the macro brands and stuff essentially.
Right.
So I was like, look, I'm not available, but also it sounds like you're actually just stuffing together a bit of research for this. You maybe don't need a specialist beer writer. So I'm available next year if you want anything else done. And they're like, yeah, okay, what, any ideas? And I kind of pitched
Wow.
them the idea. Yeah, I mean, even that was like amazing. Hey, we want you
Yeah.
to write a book. What do you want to write one
That's
about?
crazy.
It's the freaking dream, right?
Have you written a book that was published by a publisher before? No, that's so crazy.
Yeah. And again, like for my like personal creative stuff, like I write fiction. So I was kind of like, I've been working like a novel that I was thinking, this is where I'm gonna get published at some point.
Right.
So to have like a publisher come up and ask me about something else in the meantime, yeah, it was kind of a weird, cool surprise.
Yeah. What can I ask you what the novel's about? Even that's totally off topic, but I'm just interested.
Sure. Yeah, it's about a vigilante who only goes after other vigilantes. So it's in this sort of like Naples organized crime sort of city, like, like Gotham, but in Italy sort of city, where vigilantes are actually like really violent and actually make everything worse. And so there's this one guy who's like, look, I don't want to be one of them, but maybe dealing with them would actually be like one step closer to fixing the problems with this messed up city. So that's his thing. But yeah, that kind of brings all its own messes in its own, in itself.
How do you even think of that? Like, you just think of that one day.
No, I can tell you exactly where I thought of that. I was watching Daredevil season two at the time,
Okay.
which I don't know if you watched Daredevil. It was friggin'
I
amazing. I loved
did.
it.
Yeah.
So season two is the one where the Punisher shows up. And
Right.
so you do get this weird thing where like they're both vigilantes, but Daredevil's like, yeah, I really don't like the way you're just using machine guns to mow down tens of people though. So I'm actually
Yeah.
going to try and stop you, even though you're also going after the criminals that I was going after. Like, yeah, it's kind of just this messy layer upon layer sort of thing. And the one, they hate each other and they both hate the criminals, but also the cops are after them. Like, yeah, so I was like, yeah, I could kind of work with like that's kind of you get spin-off ideas from that.
Yeah, that's so cool. That's crazy. All right, let's get back to beer, otherwise the whole thing's going to be derailed.
Sure.
So then, like, at some point, did you pitch this particular book or?
So my big thing as well, which I don't even know where to start with the way my brain works. I'm smart. I'm good at hearing things. I'm good at understanding things. But my brain always still just wants to distill it down to just the simplest bite size, easy to understand, easy to remember, easy to make all these pieces fit together sort of information. My brain just does that really naturally.
Right.
And so when I see other people writing stuff that's kind of complex or communicate, even in conversations, talking or explaining or teaching something in a way where it's hard to see the links, or it's so boring that you tune out halfway through, or they're using jargon and expecting you to kind of put together the pieces because they understand it, but they
Yeah.
haven't quite clicked that they're talking to someone who doesn't know that jargon, so it actually doesn't make sense to you. All these kind of ways of teaching and communicating stuff that had always really turned me off. So many of the books about beer and so much of the education about beer to me kind of felt like that.
Right.
People who are incredible brains in beer who know so much. But sometimes when they try and explain it, it just doesn't come across. And
Yeah.
so since I've been in the industry and like I've, after several years not being a brewer, just going to brewery tours and things, finally understood sort of how brewing works and how different styles work and how to taste beer and all these things. Took me a while to bring all that information together in my head, but once I had it, I was like, yeah, I love explaining this to people in a way that they get, like meeting people where they're at and putting it together using analogies or pictures or, yeah, creative ways or just really clear, simple, everyday language that actually gets it across, and you actually, you want to have that chat with someone where they explain, okay, so what are hops? So what do they actually do in beer? Or okay, so why some beer dark and some beer light? Or okay, so why would you bother doing all that weird sniffy looking, mouthfeel pretentious crap when you're drinking your beer? And being able to actually have that conversation like a normal person in a pub instead of having to work through a chapter of a textbook. And so
And there's
yeah,
a
I
lot
just kind
of.
of ideas.
Sorry, no, you go.
Yeah, well, anyway, it's just like, it seems so obvious to me. And so I started like looking up. I'm like, someone else has to have done this already. And I looked and I looked and I looked and I just couldn't find something else that kind of did this, like simple but still comprehensive and interesting beer. So I was like, that's what I want to write. I want to write a book that just explains friggin' everything about beer, to a degree, of course, in just a easy to understand, easy to read, actually enjoyable to read way, so it doesn't feel like you're, yeah. I mean, I always say textbook. Like, obviously, I'm so glad the textbooks exist because they do what they do so well. That's how we get brewers. But if you're not a brewer and you don't want to be a brewer and you just want to understand what a hazy is, or it's not even all that basic. You want to hear the history of beer or something like that. You probably don't want to go to a textbook. I don't want to go to a textbook, and I'm super interested in beer. So I wrote the sort of book that I'd want to read.
I was gonna say that the visual stuff is pretty. Just gonna bring it up here. I fucking can't cope under these windows conditions, but
Don't know, but is there anything
oh,
beer aims for you?
there you go. All right. No, I was gonna say visually, like it's had a lot of effort put into it. So, like, is that something like
I
obviously?
love this guy.
Okay. Nice. Wait, let me. I gotta screenshot that if I can figure out how to fucking do it. Hang on, do that again. All right, let me. I can do that.
Okay.
Just hold that pose. All right. All
Sure.
right. I think I did something. I don't. Who knows? I mean, I'm
Okay. Good luck with
clipboard. Save. It's on the clipboard. I mean, who knows? Who even knows what a
Oh.
clipboard is? I don't know what a clipboard
Please
is.
tell me you got a little paperclip guy who lives in Microsoft Word.
I
That
do. I've. I know. I remember
it
Clippy. Like, I think that's what's happening. I think I'm getting clippied right now.
looks like you're trying to be on Zoom and take screenshots.
That's crazy. It's like going back 20 years. So with the well, I
Pictures.
want to know about the process of it, but also in particular how, like, it's obviously a very visual. Like, there's a designer who's been obviously very much involved in this, and I'm keen to learn about that process because I love that kind of stuff.
Sure. So that's like mostly not me. I mean, I suppose I was involved in it. I wrote the words. I didn't draw the pictures. Definitely don't go thinking that I'm good at that side of it. I kind of threw a few ideas when I was kind of getting my draft in and everything,
So
ideas for
how does
design,
this
ideas for some
process, like how does the
pitches.
whole process work? Like, are you just working away and then you're just submitting them a draft and
Sure, okay, I'll go back then. All right, so they agree they wanted this book. I pitched it to them. They said, yes, we love it. I kind of did an outline or a contents page sort of thing. Yes, we love it. We want it to be about this long. We've got an illustrator lined up who's going to illustrate it.
right.
And I can't remember how long. I got 5 months or 7 months or something before they needed to see the first draft, and then like a few months after that it'd get printed, and 6 months after that it'd get published. Like it's a long process, very drawn out, which is really normal for publishing. Like that's just, yeah, it's slow. I mean, you know that, right?
No, I've never worked with a publisher. I don't know anything about how it works.
Right. Okay. Well, no, publishing is at like glacial pace. It's kind of from finishing them, I was going to say from starting the book, forget that, from finishing the book to it coming out, my books are about a year, and that's quite quick.
Yeah, wow, that's crazy. But I guess the
A
topic is
lot
kind of
of them are like
it's
big
almost
books.
universal, isn't it? It's like it doesn't change that much if you I
Yeah, I
suppose
mean,
new
and that
styles come
was,
out, but
yeah, but I did try to make it timeless. Like, I didn't want this to just like age in a couple of years. There are a lot of books that are about, the beers that are out at the moment, which are really cool, except, yeah, I mean, you read them 3 years later and some of the breweries have closed, or they're not making that beer anymore or whatever. Like I never wanted it to be like that. I wanted it to be, you could read this in 10 years and it'd still be a helpful book about beer.
I wrote a book in
And
2015
yeah.
about content marketing and blogging, and I reread it. I reread it last year just out of interest, because I'm like, I'd still get the occasional message from people who buy it on Amazon, and I'm
All
like,
right. Yeah.
fucking please don't buy this
Sorry.
book. Like, it's so out of date. Like, literally nothing in there is relevant. Like, shit, this changed so much. But yeah, looking through this book,
Oh, and
that kind of stuff's not going to change much.
there's a place for timely books, of course. But it's just not what I was doing.
Yeah.
So they agreed on it. I had like 6 months or so to deadline. My brain does everything at the last minute, so I wrote it all in the last 6 weeks. Just
What
working,
were you
filling
doing
every
in the
gap,
meantime?
working
Were you
nights,
researching
everything.
or just procrastinating?
I did a bit of research, but I mean, I'll say procrastinating. I've since learned, like, I got diagnosed with ADHD earlier this year, so I now have an explanation for why my brain does that.
Yeah.
But no, things being only, I'm only able to do them at the last minute, and that's always been true. Assignments at uni were always,
Yes.
starting 11 p.m. or 1 a.m. the night before, powering through and finishing at 7 a.m. before heading off to uni.
Yeah.
Been pretty standard for me. Which, I mean, I can still produce good stuff, which is pretty cool, but it's kind of hard to do.
Yeah, I'm the same. I understand. I just didn't know what it was called until I was like 35, but I get it.
So last 6 weeks, I kind of pounded it out, got it in. It was way longer than it was meant to be. So they were like, "Yeah, look, you need to cut like 20,000 words before we'll even look at the draft. We can't spend
How
all of our
long was
time
it?
reading this." It was 60,000 words when it was meant
Oh
to be
my
like
God,
30.
that's crazy.
It was meant to be
How
like
do you even write that
30.
many fucking words? That's a lot of words.
Oh, brilliant. Writing more is easier than writing less by a mile.
Is it?
I reckon not everyone's the same, I guess. But yeah, editing it down and kind of like crafting it the way it's supposed to be. I think that's the hard work. That's how you make it good as
60,000
well.
words is a lot of words. What were you writing it in? Are you writing in Google Docs or Word or something, or?
Was I still in Word back then, or had I got Scrivener? I probably gotten
Okay.
Scrivener by then. There's a like a word writing
Yeah, I've heard of it, yeah.
thing called Scrivener. I love it. It's friggin', if you anyone here that likes writing, like write long form stuff, like probably 3,000 words or over, I'd say Scrivener, because you get separate documents that all go together into one document. So you can always look at the whole, but you don't have to have just one giant document scrolling and scrolling and scrolling. You can have it separated off into like separate sections and little ones for notes, and you can rearrange them really easily. I reckon it's just way more intuitive than having one long scrolling document.
Interesting. Okay.
So I use that.
Yeah. So you sent them that draft knowing that it was about twice as long as they wanted.
Yes, but like I kind of didn't have a choice, because like I just scrambled to get to the end of it, like by time to hand in date. So yes,
You
I kind of
wrote
sent it in
twice
and
as much as you
apologized
had
at the
to.
same time.
Oh, God. That's crazy. So what was their response to that?
So first of all, they're like, "We can't even read it until you chop like 20,000 words out. So can you do that in 5 days, please?" So the
Well,
next
you're in your
five
element
days
now. 5 days, perfect.
is, except it's editing, and I hate editing.
Yeah, true.
So I did that, and then I think I was kind of 5,000 words over then. So then they actually had a bit of a read of it, and they're like, "Cool, we can see. Can you chop a bit from here, from here, from here, from here, from here?" Then yeah, the next week or so, I actually got it down to sort of the length it was supposed to be.
Were you,
And
sorry,
the
I keep interrupting, but I'm
no,
so
please,
curious. Were you nervous when you sent them that first draft? Like, you shitting yourself?
not really. And I can't remember if they told me this or if I'd assumed it. But because I was a first-time author, they kind of like they put it to Paddy. Like they're ready for first-time authors to turn something in that's not ready to go yet. I mean, not
Right.
that everyone gets a bit of editing, but I think they're especially ready with first-time authors. They might need a bit of extra space at that end, so they'd kind of padded and prepared for that. So
Okay. And you're, and I assume
it
you're
wasn't
getting
a huge
paid for
deal.
this, right? Like, it's a contractual arrangement that you have to produce kind of.
I mean, I got an advance, not a huge advance.
Right.
So like you get an advance on royalties, so that means you'll get a portion of every book sold, but
Yeah.
upfront they give you a portion, and they say almost like that's like a loan against the first, 1,000 books that you'll sell. So you can have that bit up front, and then once the first 1,000 books have sort of sold, then we'll start paying you for every book.
Yeah, but once they give you that money, you're kind of, in your mind, you've got a contract with them that you have to fulfill, type thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely
Yeah.
have to. Definitely have to deliver.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, and then so they edit it after you sent them that?
Yes, they didn't need to edit it much. Like, I'm the one thing about me, like, I take a long time to get stuff written, and I do that weird agonizing thing where I write too much and then I edit down and down and down. But I do can't, like, by the time I'm done with that, like, it's clean. Like, it's kind of, it's pretty much ready to go. So
Right.
I didn't need a lot of editing,
Yeah.
which is cool.
That is cool. And then
So they
how
did
long
like a
between that and
little bit
when
of
they
editing.
publish it?
Oh, friggin' ages. That was, yes, that was like close to the end of the year, and publishing was September the next year.
Jesus, that's
So 9
crazy.
months. So it was like 3 months before it went to print at all. It gets sent overseas to print. And then a couple of months after that, they get back like one or two books, like just to, sort of as a proof. And then
Yeah.
once that's come through and they're happy with it, then they get the rest of their print run. But then even that print run, I'm pretty sure, is like ready and in the country and in warehouses like a few months before release. And that's when they like, they're really doing marketing and like getting distribution set up and all stuff like that. So that by the time like its release date, like it's a really much smooth machine.
So how involved are you? Like obviously, once it's printed, you've probably got nothing to do with it, right? But
Correct.
until it's printed, you're like, how often are you reviewing what they come back to you with? And
So a few times. So first draft, then the editor went through it once and I went through and kind of fixed some of a few of her things. Then there's a proofreading stage, and they kind of send it back to you at each stage to make sure that they didn't stuff up anything.
right.
But also you kind of get another look, you're just another set of eyes. And you're kind of responsible for some of the proofreading as well. So
Yeah.
even though they paid a professional proofreader, at some point they're like, you've read this again, you're happy with it, you're confident that's how it should be.
Yeah.
And so once that's gone through, yeah, two or three sort of back and forths, they're like, right, this is now the final one. Because they've also got it is funny, but you don't really think about this when you look at a book, but all the formatting, you know, the fact that not just the different colors and fonts, but the fact that, you know, that many words fit in this box and that's a different size to this, which means it stops at some point. Like it's someone's job to make sure all that is perfect for every single page.
Yeah.
You know, when we're just doing a Word document, we don't care about that. We don't care if it spills forward and backward, but for a book, you really care because what it looks like matters.
Yeah.
And even things like a couple of the editing things that came back were like, there'd be a box like this and they'd say, oh yeah, there's 10 too many words to fit in here. So can you cut 10 words just so it fits in the box? Not because there's anything wrong with the text, just because we need it to fit in that box. And so you
Yeah.
have to edit based on that a bit as well. Which is interesting and like kind of a cool part of it. But yep,
And
so then it's in formatting.
this book is, because it's so visual, I'm guessing it's like everyone, like what percentage of people who buy it are buying the physical book? Is it like everyone, or is it?
Yeah, I mean, like there definitely were some e-book sales, but yeah, I think the physical one is like what it's all about.
Yeah. So it's not like,
I mean,
because I'm
sure,
just
you can
trying
look at the
to,
e-book, it's fine, but
no, but I'm just thinking like with, I know with my books, it's, I always did self-publishing and Amazon print on demand, so the pressure to get it perfect is not really quite the same, because it, you know, in the back of your head you can update the book, and it's print on demand, so you're not printing thousands of copies of the book. And also, a lot of people are reading it on Kindle. You know, it's mostly words, not text. Sorry, not images. It's not
Pictures,
like a beautiful book like that that you put on a coffee table. So there's a certain amount of pressure with this thing where it's like, if it's wrong, it's going to be pretty shit.
And I mean, look, even as the ebook, I mean, actually, I don't, because ebooks usually like they can change the number of words per page. Hey, that's like standard for a Kindle.
Well,
Whereas you
Kindles just
wouldn't
have
do that with this
percentage.
book.
They kind of just like say percentage read and.
Yes, but if you increase the font size, it changes the number of words on the page. Like it pushes
Yes.
words around, right? Yes. So
Yeah.
I don't know how that'd work with this book. You couldn't really do that. So I guess it'd
No.
have to be more like a PDF where every page just looks like it looks.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, but
Now
this,
that you say
but
that, I've
this,
never seen it like that.
that's fun. That's actually a good point, because you can read PDFs in Kindle. I don't, yeah, to be honest, I don't
So
read a
maybe
lot.
you need to do that.
But you can just add PDFs to a Kindle. I can't picture what this book would look like on a Kindle, but yeah,
Yeah, I don't.
like you say, most people are buying this as a physical product, so it doesn't really matter.
I
But
mean, like
if it,
I've got the PDF on my computer and I actually use it heaps. Like I search through it and I check stuff in it all the time.
yeah.
It's really weird using your own book as a reference, but I do. And yeah, like when I want to send it to someone really easily, like I'll flick them an ebook sort of PDF version. But
Yeah.
I really like the solid book. Like it's sort of small and solid, and hardcover. And
Yeah, it's
I
very
asked for it
cool.
to be. to be that way, because I thought, I don't want this to be something you've got to be a bit precious with. I want, you should be able to take this to a pub and spill some beer on it and
Right.
get chip grease on it, and like it's still okay,
Fair enough.
Even you look at mine, I carry mine around in my bag everywhere, and you can see it's got all this like wear and tear around the edges,
Oh,
like
that's
an old
cool.
scroll that a monk's been carrying or something.
Yeah, that is. That's really cool. That's like an old school looking book. All right. So, well, let's fucking. I mean, no, I don't know if people listening to this are kind of can help, but I think we should get behind it. Father's Day's coming up. Get involved.
Yeah, I mean, like it's
I wish my kids would
one
buy
thing I
me this,
love
but
about it.
they definitely won't. But yeah, this is a perfect Father's Day present.
Look, I don't want to toot my own horn, but like I think it is. Like I wrote with that in mind, not just people who are already really into beer, which like obviously I want it to be good for. But like I've had, friends, family, like other people who have bought it, just through the shops and whatever, who weren't really that into beer, like tell me I'm really into beer now, essentially. Like they're like, since I got this book, I haven't been buying any macro stuff because I just want to taste all these different styles. And like my brother-in-law now is like super into good beer, and he like takes me pictures of stuff he's drinking. I'm like, man, I didn't even know you drank beer before this book.
That's cool.
So it's really cool, I think, for kind of sparking that in people who like they like beer, but they've never really thought about it as like as a hobby or an interest. It's only ever been something you throw back and don't think about. So I really
Yeah.
like that aspect of it. Like I think it's kind of cool how it actually just triggers something, fun and interesting in people.
Yeah, nice. It's really well done, and I congratulate you. I think it's
Thanks,
almost
man.
like a bit of a responsibility to create a book like that because beer is such an important thing in Australia.
I think
It's very
so.
cool.
And again, like a lot of breweries who are like, we need to get a lager, a pale ale, an easy drinking sour that goes further than just a beer. It's like we actually have to show more people out here that there's good beer. I
Yeah.
kind of felt the same thing with this book. It's like, yeah, I don't want this just to stay in a very tightly controlled sphere of people who are already down the rabbit hole. I'm pretty keen for this to get out to people who haven't thought much about beer before, even though they're like drinking.
Yeah. Awesome. All right. Well, oh wait, before we move on from the book, you said something to me before the podcast that you're working on something else.
Oh, right. Well, actually, I am working on something else. That's book number three. But book number two is coming out.
This, oh God, okay, Jesus Christ. Okay, I can't keep up. Fucking hell. So you've
Oh,
got that
sorry.
book already. That's number two.
I've got like one author's copy of The Gin Drinker's Toolkit, which
Oh, wow.
is
Can I
coming out
screenshot
in
that? I
like
mean, I don't really know how to, but
yeah, no, I think you can.
didn't seem all that
That's safe
confident.
there.
That's Sean Connery there, is it?
Absolutely, but that's James Bond.
Oh. Nice. Very good. So, okay, so oh fucking hell. I've got so many questions.
I told you the publishing industry works slowly. You're working on one book, and like the previous one or two books isn't even out yet. That's how
All
it
right.
works. Yeah.
So okay, I don't
Go on,
want
catch
to
up. Come
take up
on.
this entire podcast with fucking books, but so you've written that entire book.
Correct. Yes.
Okay, so did you know about gin before or what?
So when I pitched Beer Drinker's Toolkit right back before I wrote that, I kind of put forward what it would be like, and the sort of things it'd cover and how it'd be, broad but still comprehensive, accessible to people who hadn't drunk it before, but still actually useful for people who had, da-da-da-da, and fun and interesting. And I was like, and you know what? Once I've done this for beer, like you could make a series out of this. You could do gin, you could do whiskey, you could do other things too. But I know, if you want to do gin or whiskey, you could talk to me about that because I've been in a gin tasting club. I've, been drinking whiskey for how many years, whatever. Maybe
Yeah.
if you want to do other drinks, you'd want to go see someone else. And they were like, oh yeah, look, maybe like let's just focus on one book, hold your horses there, cowboy.
Chill out, mate.
So I wrote it, Beer Drinkers, and sent it in. They were like, yep, cool, thanks. We'll send away for printing. No mention of it, nothing. The day that the publishers like got the printed book back and held it in their hand, they like contacted me and they're like, we love this. Like this just feels so good. Can we get started on the gin one now? I was like, oh
That's
gosh, I'd kind of
wild.
forgotten that I'd said I'd do that, but yeah, okay, sure. So yeah,
Wow.
no, I was already into gin. I already knew a bit about it, not as much as beer, but I I did have a good like a head start already, and then like add research to that and get going.
That's fucking
It's the same.
amazing.
It's the same
Right.
premise. Kind of similar format. Oh, I mean, same format. Some of the sections are different because gin's different to beer, but like it covers the same kind of scope of history of gin, where gin's at today, what's in it, how do you make it, styles of gin, how to taste it, yeah, stuff like that.
Wow. Well, I mean,
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
can I attempt to guess the third book, or is that under wraps?
I think I maybe let it slip already
Yeah,
by
okay. All
accident.
right.
So
Yeah.
I won't say anything else, but yes, you can guess it all
All right. Well, I'll leave it up to the listeners, the 12 listeners, to guess what the next one might be. That's so cool. That's very cool. All right,
that's pretty exciting.
let's get
Yeah,
into
move
some
on. Back
beer
to beer.
news.
Beer,
So,
beer, beer.
yeah. All right. So, unfortunately, as I mentioned, not the greatest news, but I saw on the Crafty
Yeah.
Pint podcast, which I haven't listened to yet because I only saw it come out this afternoon, but Tom Delmont
Yes.
was on there, and it was mentioned in the
Yeah.
post there that the Fixation Incubator is getting shut down.
Yeah. Which is, yeah. I mean, it sucks, right? I've only been there once, but obviously Fixation, like it was something that actually grabbed onto IPA and was like, you know what? All kinds of breweries have been focusing on, individual styles or parts of styles for ages. Why can't we do IPA? And they did. And it was, Tom like took that and just ran with it and did such a good job for so long. Yeah.
Yeah, their first IPA was just like, yeah, this is awesome. My recollection of it was the Pirate Life had kind of taken off, and then Stone and Wood were just
Yeah.
so good at kind of being relevant in all these different areas. And they were just like, let's just do it like this and just do it as a little a 50-50 or something with Tom. And then the beer with they had the Obsession, didn't they? And then the IPA, both two awesome beers. And
Yeah.
then the Squish, they had the Squish as well, right? The
And the
orange
fact,
one.
no, and that was, oh, I freaking always love citrus IPAs.
Yeah. And then the
And it was really
Vetley is so
smart,
cool.
like, But like Stone and Wood, it was really smart for them because they did have this really strong brand with like, we're really sessionable and we're really for everyone. And we're well aware that IPAs aren't for everyone. So they kind of did this, sub-brand or side project or whatever you want to call it. So they actually could go sort of gung ho on that without diluting what they were really good at and what they were really known for.
Yeah.
Because I think if they'd tried to keep all those IPAs under their brand, especially at that time, they wouldn't have done as good a job with them. But that kind of gave him free rein to go nuts.
Yeah.
Did an amazing job with that.
Yeah, it's a shame. I think I remember when Stone and Wood sold, obviously it was a huge shock to the industry. But I kind of thought, because I was still in the industry, for a couple of years after they sold. And then when Bolter sold, I kind of thought the majors had like really figured out how to acquire these brands, in that they would kind of acquire them, keep as much of the team around as possible, keep the recipes as close as possible, not fuck it up like they'd done with all the other ones. But it really does feel to me like they're fucking up all the good shit that Stone and Wood put out.
I mean, it's not just that, like a few the Tiny Mountain up in Townsville, the Lion owned, like a brewery they owned up there, like they shut that down. Like there's been a few other ones the last couple of years they've shut down because I mean they're struggling like everyone else. They're not struggling in the same way as everyone else because they got deep pockets. But
Yeah.
they're still kind of like losing money and figuring out which of their brands, lines, whatever,
Yeah.
which do we hold on to, which do we have long-term potential with, which are we going to keep making money on instead of losing money, and which ones do we just need to cut our losses and so yeah,
Totally.
like that's happening.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
I
a
don't
real
think they're doing
shame,
it
I
because they hate
think,
them,
because
but
it's kind
yeah.
of like these were the good things about the industry that happened because of people like Tom and other people who were creative and talented. And the major, and like when they sell out and just say, it's all good, they're going to be the new custodians of the brand and all of this bullshit, like, it's really sucks because it's bullshit, they know it's bullshit. I totally understand selling the business and making a fuckload of cash, but you just knew that these other projects were just not going to last under a company like Lion. And
Well, it's not even that it's definitely not going to last. It's just that it's not their baby in the same way that it's your baby. So it's not that they're keen to get rid of most of these. But if push comes to shove, they're probably going to be quicker to let it go than you would have been. Like, they're not going to fight tooth and nail. They're not going to, stay up and work extra nights and give up their holidays or weekends or whatever
Well,
to make it
yeah,
work.
but
Not
there's
that
that,
that's
but
always a
there's
great
also,
thing.
but they've, I
Not that's a
mean,
great work-life balance, but yeah, but it's
they've
what
reneged
owners do,
on
right?
basically everything that Stone & Wood said, like,
Yeah, sure.
and you look at what's happening internally at that company. Not that I'm, really that close to it anymore, but it's not the same place. I think
Yeah.
anyone who's there now knows it's not the same place, and it's a shame. I mean, do you think there's a chance that, like, obviously brands are brands, but like what people really liked about that was the place. I think every time I went there,
Yeah,
admittedly it was always like during
oh,
Good Beer
great
Week or
venue.
something, but it
Yeah.
was just cranking. It's a fucking awesome venue. Do you think there's a chance someone takes that on and just kind of,
Look, at this time, like, there just aren't that many people looking to sell something new, surely. Like, definitely are some, of course. But like, who's got money that they're throwing in a hospitality right now? Like, it's a pretty small list.
Well, I mean, if you look at, I mean, I don't know the details of this one, but like if you look at what's happened with other breweries, like when one collapses, we've got another story coming up about, one goes away, someone else comes
Oh,
in
look,
and fills
that's
the
true.
shoes.
Yeah, that's true. I suppose another brewery taking on as a satellite tap room or something, like, that'd be pretty cool to see. Yeah.
I think the
As
problem is
much
that
as
brewing beer is so expensive, and it's like if you're like this whole satellite, well, we may as well move on to that because the next story I've got here is Slipstream opening their Sunshine Coast venue.
Oh,
So,
I'm stoked about that.
well, here's the thing, right? Our industry works really well for brew pubs now because they've got this excise rebate where if you're like a busy brew pub with a small amount of wholesale, you've got basically tax-free booze if you can manage that really cleanly. Because you get this $350,000 rebate. But if you've got a second venue, you don't get the rebate twice, for obvious reasons.
Sure, yes. Yeah.
So what you're seeing is like these companies that will sort of open second venues, but they're not brewing at the second venues because brewing at a small scale is fucking uneconomic, So then you get this kind of thing, which I think was my understanding of this is the same venue that Black Ops had talked about taking over, and
Yeah,
they
right.
were apparently going to open up there, which, I knew was bullshit because I was close enough to it to know, but that's what they were telling people.
Sure.
But they're not going to brew there because they've got plenty of capacity at their brewery. So they're kind of opening a, I don't know, you
The
call it a
venue.
tap
Yeah,
room, but it's
to
not
tap.
a brew pub, is it? If
Yeah.
you're not brewing there, it's a
No. I don't think they're
restaurant.
calling it a brew pub, but yeah, it's a tap room venue, whatever. I think venue is a clean word. Obviously, it's just and Hiker's done the same thing, right? I mean, I think, yeah, I can't remember exactly whether they're like brewing a tiny bit just to keep the licensing or whatever you've got to do to make the licensing work. But yeah, their idea isn't we wanted more production. Their idea is we wanted another venue.
See, to me, th this is, I mean, it might be controversial, but I've never thought this was a good idea, and I've never seen much evidence of this working. Like I remember going to Hendo's Brew Cult bar in Brunswick, like way back in the day when he had it before we even started Black Ops, I think, or like around the time we were starting it. And I kind of went there and I was thinking, well, okay, they don't brew the beer here. They've got, eight taps. They're all Brew Cult beers and maybe one or two taps of something else. So basically, like this venue is a brew pub where you've got limited choice of beer. Well, oh, sorry, a pub where you've got limited choice of beer. So like
So you're
what
saying like it
value is it
loses some.
really?
You're saying it loses some of its shine because it's not brewed on site.
Oh, 100% it loses the
Yeah,
shine for not
yeah, yeah.
brewing on site, but then what benefit does this venue have over a pub which can choose whatever beers it wants on tap, or an independent bar like a brewski or a scratch or something that can choose whatever beers it wants across all of its taps?
Look, I
Why?
mean, this.
And the only possible answer is the brand is bigger than. The brand is big enough to pull it off, like a BrewDog. Like BrewDog can do it just, but can
I
anyone
don't know.
else
That's
do
the only
it?
thing. I mean, it definitely depends on the people. Depends on like how you're on the venue. But a lot of pubs don't have like people who are really passionate about good beer and treating it really well and know it inside out, right? Whereas theoretically and like hopefully, a satellite taproom will have that. Like you've got, slipstream staff or, hiker staff or whatever,
But you're not
people that
going
you've
to like it's
employed,
like
you've
no, the
trained.
Sunshine Coast is 2 hours north of
Oh,
South
surely.
Brisbane.
Hopefully they're
Like
still training them though to some degree, or doing like they're interacting with them and training them
for sure, but
in a way
it's
that wouldn't happen if
difficult.
you were to some random bar.
Oh, it's difficult though. I mean, even
So
just
if you
based
can
on
do
my
that
experience of
well.
having a taproom in Brisbane and the Gold Coast, it's
Well, that's the thing.
super
I'm
hard to
obviously
make that
not.
work.
I'm not bringing any experience to the table at all. So yeah, please. Everything I say is a degree of speculation and looking from the outside in. But yeah, and I mean, obviously you're getting your beer. You're not buying expensive kegs from someone else. Like you're getting, well priced, well
Yeah.
margin beer. And
Yeah.
to some
Yeah.
degree, the brand really matters. But to some degree as well, people just want a good local. If you can be a good local for people, I don't think they're often going to complain they don't have different brands as long as you've still got a range of beers, a range of styles, flavors, ABV, whatever.
Yeah,
A
that's
lot of
probably
people are really
fair.
happy to go, like, you know what? You're a good local doing fresh beer, a range of stuff, new stuff all the time. You know beer and you care about me. Like that makes a great venue. If, like I said, it depends on people, depends on how it's run, whatever. But I think you can do that really well. Yep, definitely you'd lose something from not being on site. And maybe you don't hold up to some of, the best craft beer bars who they do all of that, plus also get beer from all kinds of people. But I think you could stand above a lot of other bars by doing that well.
Yeah, but then it's tricky. I don't know. I just think like you got kind of your mates down the road who are, founder-led, independent, brewing all of their stuff on site, super passionate local crew. I don't know.
So
I
this one though,
just
this is at a shopping center though, right? This one in
it's I
Bettina?
think it's next to a shopping center or something. I haven't been there, but yeah.
I think it's like connected to the shopping center, like it's in the precinct. So I think you're gonna get people there who aren't just looking for a brewery. Whereas like to go to your mates, mostly it's people looking for a brewery.
I worry about
So.
shopping center venues like this though.
Yeah,
I don't know.
sure.
Yeah, no, I'm not trying to be
I won't.
negative. I think it's cool that an independent is taking over the space, but I worry. Like we had a couple of opportunities at Black Ops to take over leases at places like this, and you look at the rent and everything else, and it's just kind of like, man, I don't know. Like
That's
this is a proper hospo operation. Like you really need to know what you're doing. I know
yes,
Slipstream have got a good thing
that
going at
is
their
true.
brewery.
I didn't realize how big it was. I think that says 300 seat, this new one,
Yeah, it's a big
which is
venue.
pretty sizable. And yeah, you're right, like obviously rent in like a shiny sort of new suburb, newish, suburb, shopping center. It's right up there. So you do want to run it well. You do want to run a tight ship and make sure you are filling it up and you are doing events and you are doing food well and getting in more than just the craft beer crowd.
Yeah.
But I
And the
mean,
thing is,
like
the
a
beer
lot
is
of
not that
bigger
cheap. Like, if you're
ventures.
making it, it's not,
Correct.
like you get the excise rebate. If they have it in a certain way where, like, across both venues, it's like perfectly equals, excise free beer, then that's sweet. But I don't know if that's true or not. But let's just say that's not true. Like you can buy beer cheaper than making it yourself on the system that they have. Like it's not cheap to make your own beer.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, it's good that an independent is taking it over instead of some other. Big major doing it, I
Yeah.
suppose.
Oh,
And
and like I said,
yeah.
I really hope they succeed because I freaking love Slipstream. Like they're
I'm the
my local
same.
down the road
I'm
here.
right. I'm coming from a place
Yeah.
of nervousness. I'm just like, fuck, you got some balls on you to like take over a venue like this at this point in time. I hope it works. I really hope it works.
See, and it's hard for me. So I'm a very risk averse person. So like anyone taking any risk in business, I'm always just like, oh man, I wouldn't do that. But the only not everyone who takes a risk succeeds, but the only people who succeed and do well are ones who have taken risks.
That's
So
true.
I look at people and it's really hard for me to gauge whether someone's going to do well or not because everyone is taking risks that I would never take myself.
Right.
So yeah, I
Yeah.
just look at them and go, yeah, man, I hope you do well because I want to see you guys succeed so hard. Yeah.
Yeah, no,
And I
I
want to
agree.
go
And
visit my brother-in-law up on the coast and say, hey man, let's go to Slipstream.
Sunshine Coast is awesome. I mean, I think that's cool. Yeah, I think about risk differently these days. Like I used to be a real big risk taker, but now I just all I think about is what can you lose? Because after losing basically everything, you really start to think about that when you make decisions. And like I think for a brand like Slipstream, hopefully they've got a kind of arrangement there where it's not going to cost them a huge amount to fit it out, and it's not a hugely long-term lease,
That's true. Yeah.
and it's not, they're not actually putting their whole operation on the line, because if things are going well where they are, then they don't have to risk moving to a second venue.
Yep. Yeah.
But yeah, like you say, that you get rewarded for the risk, so.
Yeah. And look, it's always hard because you never know how people's internals, what their financials look
Oh,
like. But like,
100%.
I was so happy when they bought back from Mighty Craft because, like,
Oh,
you
yeah, for
hear
sure.
from you hear how everyone's doing it tough. And like, that's pretty true across the board. But there's actually a whole bunch of breweries who are like, no, we're doing okay. Like, we've got a model that's working for us. Like, it's,
100%.
the wheels are turning.
Yep.
Like, the fact they bought back from Mighty Craft is a good sign.
Well,
So
I think they
hopefully
were
they're
just
like, yeah,
given it
look, we're
back from Mighty
ready.
Craft, I assume.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's true. I never really looked at what it was worth for Mighty Craft at that point. But
Well, I didn't
yeah,
either, to
like,
be honest.
hope.
But knowing what was happening at
Yeah.
Mighty Craft, I assume they just kind of were
Sure,
given it.
sure. But yeah, you see that, and it's like, you know what? Yeah, if you're a brand and you've got space to expand, you've got resources, and you've got, you've been thinking probably for a couple of years what it'd look like, and then an opportunity comes up and you grab it. Yeah, maybe you've got so much more of this thought out than I do, who hears the bare bones details and think, how are you going to pull that off? So that's what I'm hoping is true. I'm hoping they've just going to nail it.
Yes, I'm with you on that. Right, final story, because I'm taking up a lot of your time here. We're already an hour in, because it took me fucking
Oh,
20 minutes
Tom,
to work
yeah.
out the bloody Windows computer.
That's, I was running late anyway. That's fine.
The Lord Nelson has
Yep.
sold, and this is, I was reading this
Yeah.
article. I couldn't really understand. It says it's Australia's oldest independent brewery, which I'm pretty sure would not be correct, but it is definitely Australia's oldest brew pub, I think. And apparently it's Australia's oldest continually licensed pub, Lord Nelson.
Yeah, I mean, I can't remember. They put the brewery in a long time ago. I can't remember
Well,
exactly. It
it
might have
says
been 30
1986.
years.
It says
That was
1986,
when
so long
they
fucking
bought
time
the
ago.
pub. I don't know
Yeah.
if that they put the brewery in straight away or not.
Well, no, it says reflect on the beginnings of the brewery in 1986.
Yeah, okay.
So yeah, no, it's an old, but it does say in this article that they were, it's the oldest independent brewery, which I don't, it's definitely, Coopers would
Who do
have
you
to be
reckon would be
that.
up there?
Well, Coopers would have to be that.
Yeah, okay. I didn't even read that sentence, so I didn't even think about it, sorry.
Right. In any case,
Yeah.
it's an
Sure.
amazing.
It's old. It's old
It's
and it's
very
good. Yeah.
old. It's very cool. Have you been? I assume you've been there.
Yeah, I mean, I lived near it for a couple of years. I only
Oh
went once,
wow!
which is annoying because, like, I was always, checking out different places. But it's
Right.
very cool. So have you been down, like, into the brewery?
Well, to be honest, I haven't been there for. I went there so long ago that it was way before I was into craft beer, and
Sure,
my
yeah.
recollection of it's a little bit hazy. It's probably not what it actually is like. My recollection was walking in and there was a brewery right there. But apparently the brewery's like right underneath.
So do you know the old Willy Wonka movie, like from the 90s or whatever?
Yeah.
You know how there's that room and they're walking down a hallway and suddenly they realize, like, it's kind of getting smaller and smaller, and then you walk into
Yeah.
this tiny little door and you stick you gotta go.
Yeah.
That's what walking to going to their brewery is like. You go in there and I swear the roof is like 5 foot tall.
Wow.
Bend over and, like, probably not quite that, but, like, it's not far from that. This tiny little
That sounds like a fire
bend
hazard.
over cramped in sort of, fire and everything hazard. I don't know how they got away with it. I guess it was just, a long time ago and got passed through somehow. But yeah, pretty cool little place. And the pub itself is just beautiful old,
Yeah.
yeah. It's the sort of place you want to sit, cold day, fire going, eat a pie, drink a beer. Yeah.
This is the stuff we
So
don't
cool.
have in Queensland, really. Like, definitely not on the Gold Coast. Like, we used to go to a
Yeah.
good, we used to do like good beer week in Melbourne and just be like, sit at like the Pinnacle Hotel or something, just like next to the fire, drinking like a fucking
Yeah.
pint of some weird beer. And it's like, this is like not something we even have in Queensland. But, well, maybe
Yeah.
not Queensland, but definitely not on the Gold Coast.
Yeah, there's,
So, yeah.
yeah, I don't know, wouldn't be around like that. I mean, and even our old pubs, like, aren't that old and aren't very good,
Yeah.
that's a general rule. So
Yeah. Well, I mean, hopefully they keep. It
fire
sounds
aside.
like they probably won't. Do you think they'll brew there? I mean, it doesn't really say in here, but it seems sort of unlikely.
Yeah, I mean, like, like I said, it's not the easiest brew kit to work with.
Yeah.
Pretty limited in what it can make. Again, like we were saying before, like, you've got to really love it to do it. So whether the new owners like love it and want to, really throw themselves in there and keep that going like that, I guess we'll see.
Well, hopefully that is the case. I'll skip Mick Reacts because the only reason is because a lot of these. Oh, do you want to do Mick Reacts? We can do it if you want. A lot of it's like Hendo
That's
shit.
fine.
If you want to
That's
do
fine.
it, we
Yeah,
can do
I
it.
definitely, no racing stuff would land with me at all. So certainly
No, there's a lot of
that wouldn't.
scooters and weird shit like that. We can do it if you want. I mean, I got heaps of time, but up to
Are there
you.
any beer ones? Are there any beer ones?
Trying to think.
Any beer ones?
Oh no, there are. They're quite long though, so they're like beer. Yeah, fuck it, let's do it. I mean, you seem keen. Let's do it.
Yeah, give us a couple.
See if you can. So this is the other thing is we're gonna have to figure out the technology. So,
Oh, right. Yeah. I can't even see you. How am I going to see a video? Yeah.
no, you have what you have to do is click on the Google
Oh, I've got to do it
Keep.
myself. Oh,
You have
jeez
to do it
Louise.
yourself, and this is going to get challenging.
Oh, I
But
didn't
if you go
sign
to
up
the
for this. Yeah,
chat
okay.
in Zoom, that Google Doc that I sent you before, you have to share your screen with audio, and then you have to watch that. So you have to click.
Oh,
What if I have to give
yeah.
you access to do that?
Gosh, I don't know if I can handle this. I'm so freaking bad at technology, man.
Do you have a share, like a share button on Zoom? Oh, because you're on your phone, aren't you? That might be too hard.
Yeah, I'm on my phone. That's the only way I can get my internet working properly.
Yeah, I feel like that might be too hard.
Yeah, I might have to take it back. I'm not sure I'll be able to do this. It's acting so hard right now.
Yeah,
Yeah.
now let's leave it, but
Yeah.
we'll do 12 questions because I think
Sorry.
hopefully a few will
We
be
can do
for
that in a
you.
very low-tech way. Yeah.
Yeah, we got a good Facebook group going, but there's a lot of shit posting in here, so hopefully it's not just complete rubbish. There's a chance
I feel like
it is.
that's kind of the name of the game with Boss the Brewer, isn't
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. But hopefully there's some reasonable questions in here.
Okay.
All right. Let's go. Okay, we got all comments. All right. First question. Okay. Well, Hendo's just tagged us and tagged me, and it's a photo of him in Fiji with a beer. That's not a question at
Oh,
all.
shut up. Oh, I'm so annoyed.
That's
How wet is it where you are? Because it's been raining for days here and like literally, like there's mold through our house just because the air has been wet for like 96 hours solid. It's
Well, my house is flooding. So I live
ridiculous.
in Stabrador now,
Ah,
and I have a basement.
yeah,
This you can't see a video
yeah.
here, but I record in the basement. The basement is currently flooding. Not badly, but it's just kind of underground and it's filled with
You're
water.
not
To
right. So you're not like ankle deep, and it's like slowly rising, and you've got to
no,
get the
no, no,
core
no. It's
finished before you
about,
go on
I would say in the
like
corner, it's about
Titanic
2 centimeters
style.
deep.
Yeah, right. Ugh.
But today was just gross. It was just like because I got a coffee business now, and Byron was roasting today, and like the roast is obviously hot as shit. And it's a big roaster, so it was just muggy and it's the middle of winter. I'm just thinking, man, this is going to be the worst summer. I just can't. I'm already freaking out about summer, how gross this weather is, like raining, sweltering, fucking in the middle of winter. Anyway.
Yeah. I've because it's so humid here. Like we've got like washing hanging up inside on like clothes areas and I put the heater on it. I think cool, that'll dry it out. It does dry out the clothes because it lifts all the moisture off the clothes. That kind of floats away and once it gets outside of the heat zone, it just settles back on the ground. So there's like this ring of like
God.
dampness on the ground around it. That's how wet the air is. So I can't imagine what that would be like. Yeah, if you're dealing with that sort of humidity, while you're trying to roast coffee in a warehouse and
Yeah, in
good luck
Nerang.
with
And
that.
Nerang is so hot. Like in summer,
Yeah.
I fucking swear to God, it's the hottest place on earth. Other than Brisbane. Brisbane's worse. Brisbane is so hot, dude. Like the Gold Coast is. I've always lived pretty close to the beach and close to the water. Even in Stabrador, I'm only like a kilometer from the water.
Makes a huge difference.
Oh,
Huge
massive
difference.
difference.
Yeah.
Brisbane is every time I go there in summer, it's like this is fucked. It's just so hot.
It's insane. And when we lived down in Sydney for a bit, like it was like the summer was kind of stupid hot and stupid humid. But then it gets like 10 p.m. and it gets cool, like the air cools down, and we're like, "What's going on? Isn't it meant to be hot and sweaty overnight? If it's hot during the day?" And everyone's like, "No, man, that's just Brisbane."
Yeah, it's hot. Although I'm going to Cairns in a couple of weeks, so that's going to be interesting.
Oh, well, yeah. Good luck with that, mate.
All right, let's go. Adam Curry, question. Oh, wait, hang on. Here we go. Oh, wait. Louis G, question. How do you
Just
pronounce
got, yeah.
W with this fancy U and ST question mark?
Right. In case there's some degree of seriousness from however many of the last few episodes my surname's been a topic of conversation,
Right.
I say Woost, and like my parents, everything say Woost, which I'm pretty sure that's not how my great grandfather, who was Swiss, would have said it, but that's kind of what it's become by the time it gets down to us.
There you go.
We're not
Easy.
German or Swiss or anything. Woost. Yep.
Like Worcestershire.
Like
Easy.
Wuss, and then put a T on the end.
Well, don't say that. Just say like Worcestershire, because like everyone loves Worcestershire.
People figure it out pretty quickly, man. I don't think you can hide it. It's all right.
Yeah, fair enough. Like, you probably dealt with some shit in
But yeah,
high
Worcester,
school,
Worcester
maybe.
shit, sure. Yeah.
Right. Adam Curry. Does Mick have a beer style that he stays clear of? If he had a choice, what wouldn't be in the tasting paddle? Don't say Magoli. This is this weird shit Hendo's drinking. I can't even pronounce it or whatever it's called. No one's choosing that. Yeah. Okay. There you go. Beer style you stay clear of.
I don't know. Like, I don't drink heaps of sours. Like, occasionally I'll get something that's like, just kind of a sort of a lightish, cleanish, like raspberry sour will work for me. Or right at the other end, something interesting Belgian. Like, I'll hit that. But a lot of sours to me, like the flavors clash. I don't know if it's something to do with my palate.
Right.
And I feel like I'm getting sourness and just not heaps else that's actually adding to it. So a lot of time when I see a sour, I kind of don't bother. And to be honest, yeah, a lot of hazies. Again, I think I taste astringency, like really pronounced. So sort of like a lot of hazies that other people are tasting and saying they're not getting any of that. I'm getting like chalky tastes. I'm like, yeah, this isn't really
Oh.
working for me. So like, I drink them, I taste them, I talk about them, I'll figure out the flavors in them. But if I'm, yeah, just at a brewery getting a paddle, I often won't go towards it.
Interesting. Okay, apparently it's hazy IPA day today too, so I don't know for what it's worth.
Well, wow, that why do we have a day for that already? Like,
I
we've
don't
already had
know.
IPA
Apparently
Day. And,
it's the third
yeah.
Thursday in August, apparently, is hazy IPA day. So there you go.
And we've,
By the
yeah,
way, thanks for
we
that
had IPA
serious
Day and
question. That's
International Beer
amazing.
Day as well. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Paul Meckup, any update on Travis the Chook? Oh, yeah, I've got a chicken that I'm trying to sell. Do
Right.
you want to buy a chicken?
I did say, yeah, you're loud chicken.
Yeah,
Yeah.
yeah, yeah. He's got a
Your
personality, so
morning singing chicken. Yeah.
we're trying to work out what to do with him.
No,
I was like, but why
I'm
don't we just
good.
take, because there's a farm like in the middle of the Gold Coast. I was like, why don't we just take the chicken and just chuck into that farm? And then Erin, my partner, was like, she told me a story a long time ago where she's like, I found this chicken, like literally found this chicken randomly walking across the road and took it home and then found it was a rooster and had to give it back. And it was at that same farm. Like that's where it happened.
All right.
So I'm like, this is the
Gosh.
best idea ever. Just let's just go there. Like it's in the middle of a
Yeah.
roundabout, busy in the Gold Coast, and just chuck Travis into the farm, and then someone else will come along and take him away. Her away. Her away. Whatever.
It's just it's rotating chicken. Look, there's probably like animal rescue or farm rescues or whatever. You just like
No one's
contact them and they'll
rescuing
help you.
it. No one's rescuing Travis. I'm telling you right
Oh,
now.
but they take all kinds of animals. Like, they're not doing it just because they want them sleeping in bed with them at night. They're like, yeah, no, we'd rather this animal get looked after than not looked after. So we'll look after it.
They're not looking after Travis. I'm telling you, that's not what they do with my with chickens that are loud that sing in the morning.
Absolutely, I do. Yeah, that's the whole point of it. But anyway, yeah.
All right. I'll try
Good
that. All
luck with
right.
Travis.
All right. Thank you. All right. Wally, what beer styles are we not seeing enough of in Australia? There you go. That's so many serious questions. I like it.
Oh, what did I have the other day that I was so happy to see? Scotch ale. Scotch ales and like malty stuff that's like that. Like, I'm a big fan of malt. And we
Yeah.
just see, I mean, I don't know if it's much different down south. We don't get a lot of canned stuff from Melbourne that's like
Yeah.
malty, but maybe there's more just tap only stuff down there. But yeah, seriously, your malty styles, like your English stuff, your Scotch ales, I just freaking love it so much.
Yeah.
Your ambers and your reds and all that sort of stuff, I think they're so good, and we just see so little of it. Yeah, there we go. Wee heavies, Scotch ales, and wee heavies. My personal taste, but I'm well aware of why we don't see them. It's because no one drinks them and no one buys them.
Yeah, that's true. I can't remember the last time I had a Scotch ale, but that's a good pick. I couldn't have picked a better one. That's a good choice.
One of the first beers that just I kind of went head over heels with when I was getting into craft was Founder's Dirty Bastard. Like,
Oh
oh,
yeah.
so good. You don't see it around in Australia anymore, but oh, blew
Yeah.
my mind. And if I saw it tomorrow, I'd buy it.
Yeah, nice. We speaking of homebrew, when one of the very first beers we did at Black Ops, we'd done the first couple. I think we'd done Beach House Eggnog Stout and Code Red, maybe ABC Bomb, Black IPA. And then Govs is like, "Oh, I randomly made this beer at home on my stove, and it was a Scotch ale." And me and Eddie were like, "This is fucking awesome!" And it was like we just nicknamed it Govs's Scotch Ale. Sorry, Govs's Stove Top Scotch Ale. And it was like he was able to make this beer
Nice.
on his fucking stove that tasted amazing.
Wonderful. Oh, you're
But yeah,
probably a good caramelization on the bottom of the pan.
Exactly.
And that's
So yeah, I
another
mean,
style where a bit of diacetyl would serve that well.
yes, exactly, perfect, exactly. It's that kind of flavor. So yeah, nice. All
Yeah,
right, awesome.
bring
Well,
back
good luck with the
stovetop scotch. Yeah.
good luck with the book, and I'm a fan. I'll support it. Good luck with the
Oh,
second one and the third one, whatever
oh,
that
that is
next
that the end of the
one might be.
questions?
That's it. That's
Yeah, is that
it.
the end of the questions?
Yep,
Oh,
that's
man.
it. That's how it works. It's hit and miss. You might get some good ones or
Yeah.
some just not much.
I promise I was not trying to look at the questions. But I was checking something that came up in my feed and I saw someone said something about a shirt. So
Shit. Okay,
is
wait,
that
where
not
is that?
there?
Oh, hang on, hang on, hang on. Oh, okay, no, wait. Okay, the shirt, yes. Right, wait. Oh, somehow missed that. Right. So you definitely look at the questions, let's be honest about
I literally saw nothing else. Like
it.
it
Okay,
came up on my feed. My eyes caught something about a shirt before I
all
looked
right. All
away,
right.
covering
You're
my eyes.
so onto it. All right. So Paul James said, "I purchased a shirt that I'm pretty sure Mick designed a few years back. Why books and no more shirts?"
That's funny. If that is one off Redbubble, because if it's not, then I didn't design any shirts. But I did put together some shirts and just threw up on Redbubble several years ago.
You just said before
It
in
was
this
just,
in this podcast that you're not a designer and you.
oh, I am so, I was about to say, I say design, the word design is a bit strong. I literally, like, for a couple of them, I like put together like text, like I did one or two that were like text based. I think I found a few like royalty free, like pictures of hops and things that I kind of played around with a little bit. Like seriously, yeah. Like I said, the word design does not really come into it. So if he's talking about them, that's fun. I sold like 20 of them, and he might have been one of them. That's really cool.
That is so cool. Like the chance of someone in our group bought one of these shirts, that's
Yeah.
kind of amazing.
Seriously, I sold very, very few.
Okay.
So that's it. Might not have even been 20. Like I think I sold a few like more stickers than shirts, but yeah, it might not have been 20 shirts even.
Wow. Well, you got a super
The
fan here in
reason
Paul
is
James.
because I'm glad to hear it. One of them that I put together was just a, again, just a text base. I just found a font that I liked, and it comes in paints. I'm getting one, from Lord of the Rings, right? Which, is a great sort of Hobbit quote. And that one actually ended up being the most popular, which was like 30 stickers and reshirts or whatever. But Redbubble at some point changed their policies and they saw that and they said that's a breach of copyright and they
Right.
like disabled my whole account and like everything just like they shut it all down. So my very, 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 very small trickle of a couple of dollars a month dried up.
Oh,
That's
that's a
why I
shame.
don't do shirts anymore. Yeah.
Well,
Sorry,
that's a
Paul. Thank you for being one of the three. Yeah.
yeah, so you basically
Oh, I
had
feel like we're
12 fans,
teachers of
like we've got
that.
12 listeners, and he's one of them. That's amazing.
Exactly.
Crossover for the ages.
Paul, if you can like put up a picture of that, I'd really like to see it. That'd be really cool.
That would be cool.
Absolutely.
Awesome. All right, legend. Thank you for coming on. Sorry the video didn't work. Well, I think we got there in the end. The audio should be fine, and we're good to go.
It's been quite funny just talking to a black screen. I mean, it's fine. It's like talking on the
It would be
phone,
weird,
but
I can imagine.
I'm well aware that my image is there. So if anyone does watch this, they are just watching me and you in black, which is. Yeah, do it. I mean, you can. I don't know if you want to like draw a little stick figure of yourself to put it in the place of you, but
No, I think we made it work, and it's good. All right. Cheers, mate. I'll
I
talk to
can
you
draw a stick
soon.
figure of you if you want, man. Right, later.
All right. See you, mate.